It's what the subject of the gospel truth that we wrote last time, so I have issues in the back. We're not going to take time to cover every issue or every part of the subject today, but it is down in the paper that we wrote, and I was very personally challenged in this study on the subject of fasting. Subject of fasting has been something that has been misunderstood through the church ages. It's been something that's been abused. Some people have taught the practice of fasting as more of an ascetic thing. Asceticism, by definition, is self-discipline and denying yourself so much as if that will make you spiritual. All right? Really, the Roman Catholic Church really emphasized that. And that's why you even find people when they're doing things, was the story of Martin Luther climbing the stairs on his knees, you know, getting bloody knees, and the Lord spoke to him, is like, this is not your salvation. You're not saved by works. Fasting can be the same thing. If I can fast enough, it will make me spiritual. That is not scriptural, all right? That is not biblical in and of itself. If I can deny myself of something, that's the definition of spirituality. That's not so. That's kind of what the scribes and the Pharisees espoused as well. You know, I give of my tithes and I fast thrice a week and I do this, but that was not the essence of spirituality. The essence of spirituality is being in communion with God. So then, some people have taken fasting because it's been abused, and they've neglected it completely. And I feel like that we are in a generation, and I won't ask for a show of hands, but I believe that we are getting in a generation that has lost the understanding of the practice of fasting. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I have personally been challenged in my own life in studying it. And if I can just, through the Spirit of the Lord and His Word, whet your appetite just a little bit this afternoon to study what the Scripture says and seek the Lord for guidance in your life about fasting. Now, fasting in and of itself, like I said, does not make us spiritual. Fasting was abused in the Scripture. There were people that fasted carnally. The Scripture talks about them fasting for themselves. Has anybody ever here, you don't have to acknowledge it if you don't want, but decided that you would fast, maybe you were trying to lose weight or something, so you thought you'd fast and it didn't work? Let me ask you, what benefit spiritually was there in that one? That was kind of a selfish fast then, wasn't it? It's like, well, I can kind of kill two birds with one stone, and I like to abstain from food, so maybe I can lose a little bit of weight, and then I can kind of spiritualize it and say I'm fasting for the Lord too. That really, what is the purpose of fasting then, we have to ask ourselves. Fasting is something that is very personal between us and God. So now if you want to fast for weight loss, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. That's your business. But be careful about taking a selfish thing, a selfish fast, and spiritualizing it. Because if we're going to fast unto the Lord, then there ought to be a lot of respect, right? There's more respect because this isn't just something, oh, I'm going to abstain from some food here, but Lord, I am giving up a natural desire and a need for food, and I'm going to lay that aside to enter into your presence. Fasting, I've heard this from the pulpit, misused, and I don't have any stones to throw. But fasting, by definition, if you look at the original meaning, definitionally in the Hebrew and the Greek, as well as scripturally, fasting is what? What is fasting? It's not a trick question. It's not eating, right? But what has happened is people have tried to add to that definition or take away from it. Well, I'm fasting from my iPad. Fasting is laying aside of food. If you feel like the Lord wants you to put your iPhone down, then put your iPhone down. Maybe there's some self-discipline you need. Maybe you're getting too wrapped up in something that's lawful and you're getting too occupied. But fasting in and of itself is the laying aside of food. All right? And so our world, what's happened in the religious world is people have extrapolated, they've extrapolated that use of fasting and they've added other stuff in it. How many people are familiar with Lent? You know what Lent is? Can anybody find that practice in the scripture for me? It's not there. You want to know the history of Lent just a little bit? There was a Jesus, and well, I don't want to get too far ahead, but I also know we don't have time to cover it all. Let me just be brief here. Jesus told criticized his disciples. They said the disciples of John the Baptist are fasting. You know, the Pharisees are fasting. Your disciples aren't fasting. You know, they're not fasting. They're kind of getting on to him a little bit. And Jesus said, why do they need to fast if the bridegroom is with them? But there will come a time when the bridegroom will not be here, then will my disciples fast. Jesus was in the tomb or in the grave for about 40 hours, okay? Now, how long is Lent as taught, practiced by the Catholic Church? Huh? 40 days, all right? Somewhere from 40 hours being in the tomb, they took a day for an hour or something. And that's not scriptural. You will also find with the practice of Lent, they're not fasting from food for 40 days. Many times they're, well, I'm going to give this up or I'm going to give that up for Lent. It's like, well, where is that in the scripture? If God wants you to give something up, that's a very personal thing. But to make a church dogma out of it or a church doctrine, that's not scriptural. Fasting is the laying aside of food. All right? So, in the Old Testament, ascetic practices have never drawn mankind into close relationship with God, first of all right? An ascetic practice. In the Philippines, I've been to the Philippines around Easter time, there will be people out there beating themselves with whips. There are people that are nailed to crosses and marched through the streets with big crowds of people because they're in atonement for my sins. There is one man that made atonement for our sins, and that was Jesus Christ. So I can beat myself and try to do something to punish myself. So if I can, maybe I can fast enough. Maybe if I fast enough, God will do what I want. Is there a problem with that? Yeah, we're kind of putting God in a box then, aren't we? If I can just fast enough, then maybe I can kind of twist God's arm enough that He'll answer my prayers. So what we need to do is take a very measured, scriptural approach to understanding what is fasting, what was it intended for, and how does that apply to us today. In the Old Testament, does anybody know, was fasting commanded? Did they have to do it? Did the children of Israel have to fast? Where did it come from? Does anybody know? Okay. All right. Can I put that one off just a little bit? That's New Testament. In the Old Testament, do you know how much the children of Israel were commanded to fast? The children of Israel were told to fast one time. All right. A regular fast. It was one time a year. All right. Now, that didn't mean there weren't other times that they fasted, but what was commanded by God was on the Day of Atonement, and you can find this in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 to 32, and under the Mosaic Law, this was commanded under the Mosaic Law, that fasting was commanded on the Day of Atonement, and that was the only regular public fast that was commanded by God in the Old Testament. All right. And it says this, there shall be a holy day of atonement, it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls. Now, the terminology is a little different in the Old Testament. When it said you shall afflict your souls, it was talking about denying yourself of physical food. God made our bodies to need food. All right? So fasting was something that we lay aside, something that was lawful, that God gave to us. And he said on the Day of Atonement, when the sacrifice is made to atone for your sins, he said you shall afflict your souls. In other words, you're going to abstain from eating food. And that was the only commanded under the Mosaic law. Historically, fasting was also used as an expression of mourning or grieving. Okay? When King Saul died, it says that David, and you can get all these scriptures because of time, you can get the scriptures, I have it laid out in what I hope is a fairly cohesive manner in the paper. And those are on the back table. David fasted when King Saul died. That was reflective not only amongst the children of Israel, but amongst the heathen. When someone died, they would fast. There were other men that fasted for about a week when King Saul died. So fasting was tied integrally with the sign of mourning or grieving. All right? Later on, and you can find in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, and this is just a little bit of history, there were four other fasts that the Jews started to observe. All right? The only one of the Mosaic Law was on the Day of Atonement. But then later, they began to observe four annual fasts, and that's laid out in Zechariah 8, and also Jeremiah 36:6 refers to it. And they were four fasts to remember different stages of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. All right? Does anybody remember any other times in the Old Testament that people fasted? All right, why did Esther? What was the purpose of that fast? Okay, so that was in Esther 4, verse 3 and 16. They were going to be put to death, and so she asked the Jews, her people, fast. And what, do you remember what they fasted from? Don't eat or drink. Don't eat or drink for 3 days. Now, fasting was a sign of mourning, but it was also used in this case then as a time of denying ourselves from food because we are earnestly seeking God to intervene in what it looks like is going to happen. All right? The reason the Old Testament fasts are important for us today is because, can someone tell me, is it commanded in the New Testament? Is fasting commanded? Yeah, Jesus said, he said, after he was gone away, he said, then shall my disciples fast. But Jesus was going off a principle that the Jews understood, and that was founded in the Old Testament, all right? That's the reason it's important for us to look to the Old Testament, because Jesus never said, you must fast 3 times a week, or you must fast once a week. That's not biblical. So any church that sets up this, you must fast this much every month or this much, the question is, where is it taught that in the scripture? It's not. But yet, the principle of fasting is taught. But just like giving, is tithing taught in the New Testament? Tithing? No, tithing is a 10% given according to the law. The New Testament teaches what? Yeah, it teaches free will giving. New Testament does not teach tithing, it teaches giving. So in the New Testament, fasting was something Jesus said we would do. It was something the early morning church observed, so then we need to go and know why they did it and what they did, so we can seek the Lord for what, how to fast today. All right, Esther, 3 days and three nights they fasted. Anybody else remember another time in the Old Testament? Okay, remember Jehoshaphat? Remember Jehoshaphat? The enemy was coming against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat commanded, he called on a public corporate fast from all the people. And they fasted, and do you remember what happened? God gave them victory, right? God intervened in that, and they had victory. Another time in Ezra, in the 8th chapter, you will find that when Ezra and the children of Israel that were in Babylon, they were going back to Jerusalem, and it was a very dangerous journey. It was a very dangerous journey. And so Ezra did not want to go to the king and ask for a military escort. So it was a time of great danger. It was a dangerous journey. So what he did is he said, let's fast. Let's fast and seek God for protection. God gave protection. What about Daniel? Daniel was in Daniel fasted because he was, in essence, grieving because of the sin of the people. Moses did the same thing. When the children of Israel committed sin, Moses fasted and sought God because in a place of penance because of the sin that had been committed. Anybody else remember any more? There's a couple others in the Old Testament. What about Ahab? Anybody remember the story of Ahab? God was going to take Ahab's life. Alright? You can find 1 Kings 21. And Ahab fasted and repented and asked God to forgive him, and God spared his life. Okay? So fasting was tied with repentance. God was going to destroy him, and God changed his mind. Do you remember another big one in the Old Testament where God changed his mind? When God's judgments were going to come down on someone? Okay, Moses was one of them. That was one of them. Ahab was another. And there's another big one. There's a prophet that kind of pouted afterward. Jonah. It was Nineveh. Do you remember the message that Jonah took was, God is going to destroy you? Do you remember what the people did? They fasted. Do you know who fasted? Who is everyone? Yeah. The animals as well. No one ate or drank because God's judgment was going to destroy that whole city. So they withheld food from even the animals. That if God can hear us, then he can hear the bellowing of the cows. But nobody ate, all right, in Nineveh. Nobody ate. They did not eat or drink water. And this is a little different from some of these other fasts. The Ninevites did not eat or drink. And you remember God heard their prayer? And he had mercy on them? So that's just a little background, and again, I have all the scriptures laid out in the paper. You can go through them. But that's a little bit of the background of Old Testament fasting, all right? So it was commanded once under the Mosaic Law. It was a one-day fast on the Day of Atonement. We find that they had practice when in times of danger, they called for a fast. In times when they were repentant, and they were asking God to change his mind and divert judgment, they fasted. All right? So that lays the foundation coming into the New Testament. Let's talk about, before we get into the New Testament fast, there are four types of fasting. All right? Scripturally. One of them, I wrote up supernatural. What do you think a supernatural fast is? How long can the body go without eating or drinking? Not very long if you don't have water, right? A supernatural fast is something that is divinely enabled, that really has happened very rarely. Moses was one occasion, okay? Moses fasted for two periods of 40 days. It wasn't just one period. If you check it and look in Deuteronomy 9, Moses fasted for two different periods of 40 days. That was a divine fast, going without food and water. Elijah, remember Elijah was ready to give up and die, and the angel came and woke him up and gave him, made some food for him. And then he went back to sleep. He was still ready to die. He was still ready to give up. And the angel, it said, came a second time and gave him to eat. And it said he went on the strength of that for 40 days. Those were supernatural fasts. Who else fasted for 40 days? Okay, now, how was he tempted coming out of that fast? He was tempted with bread. Scripturally, it never said Jesus did not drink, okay? So Jesus, it didn't necessarily say he didn't drink. But a supernatural fast would be something that would be not normally you would die if you did it. It's happened very rarely. There's something interesting, though. Think about Moses and Elijah and Jesus. They all had 40-day fasts. Do you see any analogy between those three? What did Moses represent? Moses represented the law. What did Elijah represent? The prophets. We had the law, and then the prophets, and then what did we have? We had Christ, which brought in the New Testament, right? On the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? So there's some symbolism to these scriptural, supernatural fasts, alright? A regular, and depending on the author, you will hear people talk about a regular fast or a normal fast. What do you think that entails? Yes. A regular fast is eating food, but it's drinking. Alright? So it's abstaining. That is a normal or regular fast. Jehoshaphat's fast was a normal fast. David fasted from food. That was a normal or regular fast. They drank liquids, but they didn't eat food. An absolute or total or full fast would be what? Not eating or drinking. So who would be an example of that one? Esther was one. Nineveh was another one. Those were absolute or total fasts. And then a partial fast. I kind of gave it away up there. But have you ever heard of the Daniel fast? All right. Where did that one come from? You got it. Daniel chapter 10, okay? Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Daniel was seeking God, and during that period it said he ate no delicacies or meat. All right? So when people talk about a partial fast, it may mean that you've laid aside a certain kind of food. All right? You laid aside a meal or a certain food. I had someone that fasted for me when I was sick. When I was still having seizures for I don't know how many years, they carried on a Daniel fast and did not eat ice cream until I stopped having seizures. And it was someone that was carrying a burden for me, and it was just someone that they felt like that's what God wanted them to do. So for years they did not eat ice cream, and that was their fast while they were seeking God for my healing. You know what that meant to me? Well, that's what a Daniel fast is. Now, with fasting, people can add to it and make doctrines and church dogma out of fasting that the scripture never does. All right? And then other people say, well, it's not important. But we need the Holy Spirit to help us know what the Bible teaches and keep balanced in this. So those are the four kinds of fasts that there are. Now, a normal fast, the Jewish practice, all right, the Jewish practice of fasting was, and again, depending on the historian, was from sunrise to sunset or sunset to sunset, all right? So when the Pharisee, when he said, I fast thrice in a week, he was talking about a normal fast, and he was talking about fasting from maybe sundown to sundown of the next day. And after the sun went down, they would eat a meal. All right? So typical one-day fasting that the Jews observed was a meal maybe after the sun had gone down. All right? A period of 24 hours, sundown to sundown. Is that clear? Everybody still with me? All right. So that was a normal or regular fast, and that was the time period they did it. All right, let's look into the New Testament then for just a little bit. And again, we're just going to try to summarize some of this to help us understand a little bit of the foundation. Jesus fasted in Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn and read in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Let's read verses 16 to 18. Someone, if you have that, go ahead and read.
Moreover, when you fast, be not as hypocrites, but as doubters of the sad counsel, they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto the fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest,
okay, this is Jesus instructing. In the Old Testament, they made a bigger production about fasting, okay? But Jesus taught us here, did he command us to fast here? What did he say? He said, when. New Testament does not say, thou shalt fast once a week. But Jesus did say, when you fast. He was speaking to the disciples and to the Jews who understood all of this history that we just went through in a very short amount of time. You can turn and read it and study it in the Old Testament. They fasted when they were in danger. They fasted when God's judgment was going to be on them, and they were seeking God. They were humbling themselves. This is the integral part of fasting is it is supposed to be, when it's done right, it is a form of humbling ourselves before the Lord. All right? I'm denying myself this, and I'm taking this time to earnestly seek God and to enter into the presence of the Lord. Something about fasting that's very important to remember is that we cannot fast enough to make God do what we want Him to do. Is it humility if I were to come up and say, Brother Sean, I want you to do this for me, and I'm doing something to twist his arm until he does it? Is that humility on my part? No. There are some people that fast that way. If we do everything just right, then God will change his mind and do what we want. That defies the spirit of true spiritual fasting. True fasting is, Lord, I am coming into your presence and acknowledging that you're God. And I'm laying aside whether I'm laying aside food and water or just food, or maybe I feel inspired to just lay aside a meal of the day, that Lord, I'm humbling myself in laying aside the natural things of life to enter into that quiet place before your throne. And I'm humbling myself, Lord, and I'm petitioning, Lord, would you change your mind here, or would you intervene? Lord, I'm desperate for your help. I need you to be moved. And Lord, I want you to know my sincerity. Fasting shows our sincerity before the Lord. It is not about twisting God's arm. All right? I am submitting myself, but I am really in desperate need before you, Lord. And I'm opening up myself to you. And there is something, folks, fasting opens up doors in with God that nothing else does. All right? Now, I've seen people also, they've got on this thing, well, I fasted this much and I'm No, fasting doesn't make us spiritual in and of itself. Spirituality comes from communion with God, but fasting is just one key. Fasting is one key. And how much are we fasting? You know, fasting often is not going to sanctify you. But have we sought the Lord and said, Lord, have I fasted like you want me to? Are there some areas in my life that you would like me to lay aside? Maybe a day. Maybe 3 days. How long was Esther's fast? 3 days, all right? The normal fast of the Jews was 1 day. Daniel's was an extended period of time. The king, remember when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, the king fasted? He fasted through the night because that was the time that they needed God's intervention. So people say, how long am I supposed to fast? Is it the church or the minister's job to tell you how long to fast? No, that's between you and God. It's a very personal thing depending on the need and the situation, how you feel inspired by the Lord. But our motivation needs to be right. Our spirit needs to be right. Or, and I'm not going to even take the time today to read it, but you will find, again, it's in the paper, but he talked to the children of Israel when they were doing it carnally, and he said, I'm not going to honor your fast. In other words, your fast is not going to change me because you're doing it carnally. He said, you fast for strife and debate. In other words, we've got an issue here, so I'm going to fast so God will do it my way instead of Brother Andy's way. And God looked on the children of Israel and says, I'm sorry, I'm not honoring that fast. You're doing it for strife and debate. In other words, I want my way, so I'm fasting. That's a carnal fast. God does not honor that kind of fasting. All right, so Jesus here told them, he said, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. Alright? So if you want to look for any scripture that says that we would fast in the New Testament, this is one of the scriptures. Jesus said, when you fast. Alright? So he didn't say if. And then he taught us that it was something very personal. Another scripture. That Matthew 9, and this is where kind of we started. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. The disciples of John came to Jesus saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often and thy disciples fast not? In other words, aren't we more spiritual? See, we're fasting and theirs aren't. And Jesus said, can the children of the bridegroom chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Is the bridegroom been taken from us? He's here spiritually, but physically he's gone. Then shall we fast. There is reason for us still to fast today. All right? So if fasting has not been a part of your life, don't think it's going to make you all overnight. If I skip a meal, has anybody here fasted and not prayed? Okay, I have. I'm sorry. I will admit it. I was so busy through the day, but I didn't have lunch. So you think that did a lot of good? Now, there is value in fasting, and there are times of people fasting in the scripture, and it doesn't talk about prayer. But if we consider the purpose is, Lord, I'm laying aside this for you. And if I'm so busy doing stuff, and so I skipped a meal, do you think I got a lot of spiritual benefit out of it? I didn't. So if we're going to fast, let's fast as unto the Lord. That, Lord, I'm seeking your face, and I'm laying this aside because I want to enter into your presence. Okay. Who remembers then any time in the New Testament the people fasted? They were praying then. Okay, Saul fasted after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Do you remember how long Saul fasted? He fasted for 3 days, right? And why was he fasting, do you think? He was, and do you realize though that on the road to Damascus, he was converted, right? In the Old Testament, they fasted in times of repentance. What do you think would happen today if people say, oh, come up and shake the preacher's hand and be converted? They say, okay, go fast for 3 days. Think it would make people more serious about their conversions? Make you start thinking about it more, right? It's not, well, I can just get down and kneel down and say my prayer and be done. And I'm not saying everybody has to go fast, but there was a sincerity and a desperateness and neediness before God. But Paul had also been commissioned to go to the Gentiles, you remember? Because the Spirit of the Lord, or Jesus told him, said, I've called you to be a light to the Gentiles. And so we find that in preparation for his ministry, he was converted now, he fasted for 3 days. All right, that's one example. Think of any others? And I will just add to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 4, Paul said, I was in fastings often. In other words, Paul, in New Testament, we find that he said himself, I proved my ministry, and one of the things he listed in the list that he did was, I fasted often. Okay? Humbling myself, coming into the presence of God, seeking for his leadership and wisdom. And again, it's not the fasting in and of itself, it's just one small piece. But it's still important. We don't want to make it something bigger than what it is, but nor do we want to minimize it for what it is. Another one is Acts 13, and there's just a couple of these that I'd like us to read, because this is where we are today. Acts 13, the church at Antioch, it said they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Okay? This is the congregation, the ministry. They fasted, and it said the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. What does that teach us? What lesson is learned out of that? There's multiple lessons. Anybody? When we get close to God, things happen. They were in a place of fasting, and that's when the Lord spoke. Do you know on Daniel's fast, it was during the time of fasting that the angel appeared to him and gave him the revelation of the 70, what we call now the 70 weeks of Daniel. It prophesied the coming of the Messiah in miraculous, awesome detail. Prophetic detail of the coming of Jesus. That came during a time of fasting. Here, it was in the New Testament church, it was during a time of fasting that the Holy Ghost came and said, I've chosen them for the work. How much have we fasted for God to give His spiritual gifts to people in the body of Christ? Do we have an answer to that? How often have we corporately, as a people, fasted for the Lord to bestow gifts in the body of Christ? And we sit back sometimes and say, we just don't see things like they used to. Are we fasting? Are we praying? Are we seeking like they used to? We can still be saved, but are we doing what we can do to enter in the presence of God? They also, after the Lord told them that, they fasted some more. And then they laid hands on the missionaries and sent them out. How much have we been fasting for those that are being sent out in the gospel work? That's one example. Another example is in the 14th chapter of Acts. It's the next chapter, verse 21. Chapter 14, verse 21. It said, when they had preached the gospel in that city and taught many, they returned again. And it said, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Right. This was the church. This is leadership in the congregations. And there was a list of congregations that included themselves in this number. And they ordained elders, but it came with fasting and with prayer, and then they commended them into the hands of God. This is early morning church practice. How many ordinations have there been among us that have been accompanied with prayer and fasting? Does anybody know? But it hasn't. That's the pattern that was laid down. He didn't say, thou shalt fast, but Jesus said, my disciples are going to fast. And when we say, okay, when do they fast in the New Testament? When we find them fasting in the New Testament, a lot of times it was when they were seeking God to ordain elders and to send out. They were humbling themselves before God, showing their neediness for the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. I believe, and I've been challenged very personally on this through this study, that there is a place that the devil would like to steal from us the teaching of fasting. I've known people that have fasted that have broken their health. I kind of think that's contrary to the scripture too. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if we deny ourselves of food so much that it breaks our health, I don't see that as temperance or moderation. But see where the devil takes on the other extreme then is people don't fast at all. So how often are we supposed to fast, saints? Okay, that was the pattern, Old Testament and New Testament, when there's a need. When else? And it's accompanied with the need, but when else? Or why else? When the Holy Spirit leads you to. But do you know there are some things that we need to seek the Lord for? And if you have not had a pattern of fasting in your life, then might it be time not to leave the service today and say, okay, I'm going to fast once a week now. Well, you know how long that's going to last? Maybe. But that's why, folks, this is a personal walk with God. Is there a place that we could ask God, Lord, is this something that I need to incorporate in my life? I found that, you know, prayer meeting Wednesday nights, it's not mandated. But do you know Wednesdays, if we're going to be coming together on Wednesday nights, it's actually, if you're going to have a time of fasting, Wednesday's a good day to do it. But maybe Friday you have a special need and you feel inspired by the Lord. And if you're tempted to eat, but you're doing it for the Lord, do you know you say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. It's not to lose a pound. It's not because I'm too busy. It's not because of this or that. But Lord, this is a fast for you. I'm coming into your presence, Lord, and I'm dedicating, I'm giving this up because of you. Because I want you to work in my life. We're desperate, Lord. And the Lord will honor that, but we're not twisting. And so if the Lord doesn't answer our prayer like we wanted, does that mean our fasting and praying was in vain? No, because I was able to enter into communion with the Lord in a way that does not happen except through fasting. Any thoughts or comments as we conclude? So it's not a doctrine saying you must fast for 3 days at a time or you must fast this way. But remember, a fast is food. Now, if there's other issues of self-discipline and temperance that the Lord says, put your phone down or don't read the news, or that's fine. But remember, a fast is the giving up of food and water or water and liquids. And we have examples of all of those in the scripture. There's a time for corporate fasting. One of the largest corporate fast amongst us that I remember is when Karen was sick. And there was a real burden for that people were fasting. And you know the Lord answered that? The Lord answered and spared her life. But you want me to go a step further and tell you what I saw from that? And I heard it. I was there. I was in the middle of all of it. I started hearing people talk as if we did it right. It gave me a lot of, and then Brother Bob got sick and he died. Oh, is that our fault because we did it wrong then? No, God has the authority to work as He will work. Our job is to do what we can in humility before God, saying, Lord, we're desperate for You. We're desperate for You, Lord. I believe the Lord is pleased with it. I also, and I don't want to step on any toes here, and if you disagree with me, this is, I'm speaking by permission, not by commandment, all right? We have what we call in some of our meetings healing days. Fast and pray, and then, well, I'm going to give up a meal, but I'm going to double up on in a couple of hours. I'll eat a much bigger meal to make up for what I fasted for. Is that really a fast? I skip lunch, and then I'll go eat two hamburgers for dinner instead of one. Do you see anything maybe slightly out of whack with that? Yeah, it's not a real sacrifice either. Now, if you give up a meal, that's fine. If the Lord inspires you to not eat breakfast when you know, I don't have to eat breakfast. I'm good. If I fast for breakfast, and I have fasted for breakfast, I could do fine without it anyway. Now, come dinner time, then that's a different story. But it needs to be a holy fast. And in the paper, I'd encourage you to read when God condemned the fast of the people. It was because they were doing it carnally. So, I'd just like to encourage you all to seek the Lord and say, Lord, is there something, maybe this hasn't been part of my life? Is it wrong to fast regularly? Is it good to? I think when it's unto the Lord. But it's not to put anybody under bondage. It's not for anybody to put under bondage, but saying, Lord, today I'm going to lay this aside. We've got a need that's a reoccurring need. I want to seek You, Lord. So, but do it when you're inspired, because if you're not inspired and then you fail in your fast, it kind of destroys your desire to do it next time, doesn't it? Maybe we were fasting with the wrong motivation or the wrong spirit, but when we do it when we're inspired by the Lord, it gives us the strength when those physical appetites are there. It gives us the strength to say, Lord, I'm doing this for You, and I need You today, so I'm laying this aside. Whether it's a partial fast, an absolute fast, or a regular fast. So it's not my job to come and say, oh, Brother Randy, how long have you been fasting? Oh, you're drinking water. This is fast. Oh, that's... No. This is personal in how we enter into the presence of the Lord. But it was used in the New Testament, and Jesus has not come back yet for His people, so He ought to find us fasting as well.